Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicky and I'm here as always. Well, actually not as always. She wasn't here last week, but it's Jess Perkins. And as always, he's on every episode, Matt Stewart.
And he holds that over us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We're talking about how this is episode 99. The 100th live show is coming up. But for us, it's actually not 100. Matt, it is.
Yeah, I'm the only one who can genuinely enjoy the 100th. What are you up to, Jess? What, 36? It's good to see you again for the first time in months, was it? It feels like. Dave?
I've been here. I took a 2-week sabbatical.
He took one.
I took two.
I think I've missed the most. I'm sorry about that.
Have you? I reckon you've both missed two.
No. Oh, yeah, maybe that's right. Yeah, you're right, actually. Oh, yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all the times I've been away, but we still released episodes. I forgot that.
You did. You bloody did.
Oh, I'm a bit of a goose. Yeah, thanks for getting Meso in to keep my seat warm.
It was real good. He was great with the Mothman. That big old pile of dust they call the Mothman.
He is great, that Nick Mason.
And we would like to apologise to the good people of the United States of America, who apparently take Mothman more seriously than we did on the episode last week.
Really sorry about that, America.
Sorry,
God bless.
America.
God bless you all. And I found one of the names that I forgot to thank, a man named Damn Wags. He was actually a guy at the Sydney live show who put Mothman in the front of my mind, and then I entirely forgot to thank him when the Mothman incident happened. Because there was a Mothman incident where they took the Mothman, it appeared, it cryptoided into the hat, and it took out the names that said Mothman on it.
Right. Okay.
You haven't listened to the episode, so none of that makes sense, because it does otherwise.
Why would I listen if I'm not on it?
That's a very good point.
I only listen to this podcast to listen to these sweet, sweet tones.
These ones. Got her.
No, these ones.
Oh.
Well, I've got the golden tonsils.
Those ones.
Yeah.
You're going to laugh out of Matt. That's always impressive.
That's funny stuff.
Thank you.
Dave made me laugh once last week as well.
Once?
You guys are on a hot streak.
Wow, we've made him laugh twice in a month.
Only took us 98 and 99 episodes.
No, I laugh occasionally.
There's some life left in you, isn't there?
Yeah, and this old sack of bones. It's not that. I was going to say sack of shit. And then remembered the phrase as bag of bones. But I'd already... Anyway, you don't need to know everything about it. This old bag of bones. All right, cut that in. Thank you.
We are very excited that this weekend, Saturday afternoon, we're doing our 100th live... Well, our first... We are doing our 100th episode live at the European Beer Cafe here in Melbourne. We have sold out the show already, which is really exciting, but just don't forget to come.
I love cafes. I love beer, and I love euros, the currency. So this is really good.
European Beer Cafe. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And, yeah, they will make you pay in euros, so...
Which is weird, but, you know. And another thing that we'll have that we didn't announce before the Sydney show, but we'll pre-warn people for the Melbourne show, is that we have T-shirts. We have T-shirts that you can purchase.
And wristies.
We do have wristies, and we'll give them away.
Yeah, we give away wristies with the T-shirts.
Yeah, if you buy a T-shirt, you get one wristie.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it now.
And you don't get to choose who gives it to you. It's just whoever's manning the stall at the time. Anyway.
So, yeah, that's just a little note for anyone coming to Melbourne. It's going to be really fun.
And another little note by wristy, we mean wristband.
Yeah, probably good to clarify.
We should just say that.
On wristbands. And
apparently, wristy doesn't mean wristy outside of Australia anyway. So no one's getting the sick joke.
It's like a hand job. You get it? Like a wristy. Like a hand job.
Oh, wow, I was confused.
Yeah. Like an upward motion on a willy.
Up? Only up.
Only up.
You keep going up.
I let go.
Up forever.
It's like
forever.
An opposite of milking a cow.
No. I just meant it's so long that Jess goes up forever.
Wow. That is a big old willy.
Wow. That's a wristy for you.
Yeah, that's a wristy.
So that's wristies.
Next topic. Speaking of next topic, it is Jess Perkins' report to... I'm not having a good mouth today. It is, speaking of topics, it is Jess Perkins' turn to report on a topic.
Sure is, buddy. Sure
with
is.
No offence to Meso at all.
Mm-hmm.
At the fifth Beatle of our podcast. It is so good to have you back, Jess Perkins.
Aww.
It's great to see your shining face.
I was really not expecting that when you started talking. I was going to be like, I know, he's better than me. We all wish I was dead. I know, I get it.
Love, Matt.
I was not expecting that, and I'm getting a little choked up now. It's good to be back. I missed you boys.
We missed you too.
But, you know what? I mean, I was up in Sydney. I was up in Sydney and do you know...
Schoenberg, you're up in...
I was up in Sydney, Schoenberg. Do you know what's nice about Sydney?
Weather. The
yes!
beautiful harbour.
No, the fucking weather.
The weather.
You leave the house and the sun is out. And then the middle of the day, the sun's still out. End of the day, well, it goes away, but it's been up the whole time.
Yeah, the
it
sun
doesn't
shines
rain,
all
then
night long.
Gets sunny, then rains and it's fucking snowing. Melbourne... I fucking love Melbourne so much, but the weather sucks balls. And not in a fun way.
Wow, and not in an upwards motion.
Not in an upwards motion. Anyway, so yeah, I was enjoying the Sydney weather.
Sydney's, yeah, they do weather real good. Weather I had a bloody great time in Sydney. I'm looking forward to going back there.
Yeah, it's a great place. Great place.
Maybe
anyway.
In November. Who knows?
Maybe.
Sizzle. Anyone working at the Sydney airport, maybe you might see me through them bloody aisles there.
And Dave got to witness firsthand that I always get picked for the random bomb test.
Oh, okay. We're
random.
Explosives test.
Random bomb test.
Yeah, they random always
bumhouse.com.
Has anyone made bumhouse.com yet? Jess, I did witness it firsthand. You said we're going into the security section of the airport to go through to the terminal and, well, through to the gate. And Jess says to me, I always get checked. But people always say they get checked.
Mm.
We went through, she got checked. You look so innocent that you must be guilty.
Yeah, that must be
it. I reckon people just wanted to talk to you. Just an excuse to have a chat.
Aw, that's nice. I don't really chat to them much.
Yeah, they've... Fucking, serves them right.
I'm off the clock.
Mate, if you need a chat, don't go to someone like Bob.
Jess just goes, this again?
I am off,
end of convo.
Off the podcast, I am very cold. I will not talk to
chilly.
People.
Very chilly.
In fact, on the podcast.
I see.
Colder than Melbourne.
Fucking winter. Anyway, it is my turn to report, and I have...
Well, actually, last week was your turn to report.
Yep.
Okay. This is...
You are laying it on thick.
Look, the Mothman report suffered. it was brought forward a week, and I'm looking to offload any blame of it not being the best episode. And it was the best episode. So that's a weird. That's all. This is all redundant.
So you're blaming me,
but it would have been even
your success.
It would have been even more the best episode.
Exactly.
If I had an extra week.
You generally do the reports the day of, so I don't know what the extra week would have done.
Well, I would have been more relaxed leading into it. I would have had a week off, and then I would have been really bloody fresh, and I would have really attacked it with vigor, yeah. And I wouldn't have been doing it in a weird motel.
Oh, that
is weird. By myself in a Melbourne suburb. Well, you got to listen to the episode because we explain. Anyway.
Why? I'll listen to the episode. Anyway.
Okay. Don't expect me to just to talk to you about my life.
God, no. I
got a divorce. I got married since we last spoke, and I also got divorced. And that's why I'm now living in a seedy motel. Thank
okay.
you. A lot's happened.
Are you all right?
No. My life's falling apart.
Okay.
So's your wife.
God, don't bring her up again.
You can come stay with me if you need, or...
No, you'd rather than the motel.
Nah, yeah, the motel's fine.
Do you have cable television?
Dave has a spare room, don't you, Dave?
No.
He does, I'm sure he does.
I do.
Dave, that's great. Place. Oh, that's so good. Dave, I'm moving in.
Oh, great.
We can be the original Odd Couple.
Sitcom.
My girlfriend will love it.
They podcast together. They live together.
Yes, let's pitch this.
They shower together. It's the strangest part of their day.
Why do they do it? They both hate it.
Saving water.
Stop making me do it, Matt. I want to wash alone. Rub my back. That's you to me. Beauty and the Boy.
Coming to Channel 9 this spring.
Ooh, this, the suburb, I mean, fuck.
The season that we're in, you mean?
The season that we're in.
We're about to be in. It's not bloody spring and bloody Melbourne, tell you that, you bloody
boy. It is springtime.
It's not. It's fucking cold. Anyway.
Spring has sprung.
It's been 10 minutes. Let's get into the report. I'm very sorry. Okay. I've dipped into the golden hat this week, boys.
No.
It's a golden hat from Stuart Alcock. Thank you very much, Stuart. It's very exciting. And I will ask you this question, boys, which I've written the question.
Wow, that's respect for you, Stu.
It's at the top of my page, and it's highlighted in bold because I'm a professional. My question is, what is the highest military honour a person can receive?
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, Brigadier Major.
It's got to be the Brigadier.
Brigadier.
It's a firm pat on the back.
Yeah, they give you a firm pat.
Bloody job well done.
Which army are we talking? If we're talking about the English army, I reckon it's a little nod. It's just like a knowing wink.
Mm.
I think that's about as good as
you did your job.
Yeah. The knowledge in yourself that you did your in the Aussie Army, it's a bloody cold tinny of beer. In the American Army, it's a bloody, you know, like those big cannons. They shoot them over your head, and yeah, there's like a million people standing around watching. And everyone says, God bless you, sir.
Uh-huh.
And then they play, any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's you're correct. And that's what my report is on.
12 gunshot salute.
If it's in the North Korean army, your name is Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm. That's the highest
honor. Or Kim Il-sun.
Mm-hmm.
The founding father.
Founding father.
Okay, any other countries' military honours you can think of?
I'm going through all the big ones. I've included New Zealand. It means you get to use a gun for a week.
Oh, a whole week?
You get to use the country's gun.
Yeah. I said a gun, I meant the gun.
We've got one.
You get to use the gun.
Very peaceful nation. The gun actually shoots love.
Wow. It's a
love gun. You get to use the love gun.
Oh, and you just stroke up.
Oh, forever up.
Canada's similar.
Mm-hmm.
You get to use their love gun on a moose.
Why?
I know, they're already on a moose.
Why haven't they?
Your moose gets to ride a moose.
Oh, that's living.
With the love gun.
Why?
Pew pew.
With the love gun to cure war. Cure?
Yeah.
To end war.
War is a disease. It is.
It is.
We need a cure now.
Robert Smith again. That's 2 weeks in a row we've done Robert Smith.
Love references. Cats.
The Gum Street love cats. Meow.
And they wear eyeliner.
Meow.
Chairman Mao.
What was the question again? Have we got it yet?
No. Sure,
it's got to be.
Do you love cat again?
Meow.
We got to get a gif of that face.
He's winking. And, like,
I imagine it would be real
smug.
Gross to look at.
So gross. Oh. I fucking love it.
Wow, we've had the opposite reactions. I've fallen in love with that look.
Oh.
Was that your love gun?
No. Yeah, that was my Stop. Love cat gun.
It worked. Oh. He's not firing blanks.
It's when he winks. It's so creepy.
No good. Yeah, I would not want to be looking at that. That's a powerful gun. It's a powerful gun. Use it wisely.
I can't handle it.
But if we were to get back on to the
highest
topic.
Highest military honour.
Have we got it? Is the correct answer amongst
love
them?
Gun.
It's got to be. Matt, I think you know this as well. Do you know this?
The two that are coming to my head are Purple Heart, which I can't remember what that means. I think that's a bravery thing, and Victoria Cross.
Victoria Cross is the top one in the UK.
And Victoria Cross is correct.
Yay!
So the Victoria Cross is the highest award of the United Kingdom honor system.
The United Cat.
The United Cat.
And that's the one that Victoria Cross, and it's originally made out of that cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yes.
From
Star Wars film cannon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The official stuff. They crush it up, and then they make a cross.
It's me crushing it. It's giving it a crush. It's all good. Is it ready to go?
Pestle and mortar.
Yeah. Is it cannon taken from Russia, from like the Charge of the Light Brigade or something like that?
Something like that, yes.
Jeez, you got knowledge. You got knowledge dripping out your bloody ears, mate.
Do you know what the VC is awarded for?
Oh, it's usually, you usually have to die to get it.
That's, I'm going to say, above and beyond bravery.
Basically, so it's awarded for gallantry in the face of the enemy.
I think most people that get it die.
Is gallantry the one where you open a door for a lady?
The majority of people that get it have died doing it.
Here you go, Dave. Every single person who's been awarded the VC has or will die.
God,
because we all die.
You've got knowledge dripping out your ears.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we all die, Maddie. You hopefully soon.
Fuck. Well, let him get the cross first.
So, so it's gallantry in the face of the enemy. So it used to be
they would get right up in their grill.
They added it in the face of the enemy, so it's not like you're miles away from the action, but you've been very brave. Like, this guy has not cried at all today.
I sent a real strongly worded email to Hitler. Stop it! Stop what you're doing. I don't care what you say. I don't care. If you ostracize me from our social group, because I know you and my wife are very tight, I don't even care what happens. Hitler, stop it.
Send.
No. Send. Thank you.
All my love. Matt.
No.
Oh, no, that was my email signature. I should have changed this.
Oh, no, I replied all.
Well, the whole Nazi army got it.
Gobbies and everyone.
Now they've got Hitler's email. God, he'll be upset by that.
He is going to be real pissed.
Oh, fuck.
Stop it. I like the gesturing you were doing there, too.
Stop it.
That's a very firm index finger. Stop it. Ah. Doing all of that. Ah.
This is about the Victoria Cross.
It is about the Victoria Cross. It's about a very specific Victoria Cross winner. Or recipient, maybe I should say.
No, winner. They won.
They won.
I fucking got it!
Won!
Anywhere you want it, that's the way you need it.
Anywhere you want it.
Brown and up Victoria Cross.
I play that
at the ceremony.
But I want to talk about the Victoria Cross a little bit in general first, because some people may not know all that much about it, so it's kind of nice to know what it is and why it's awarded to people so that you can get an idea of.
Oh, do you know the actual facts about that cannon thing? Sorry, I should have guessed.
I read it, but I did not put it in my report, and now I'm regretting that. It is made from a cannon thing. Do you feel the need to look it up, don't you, Dave?
No. Yes.
Okay. Look it up while I do this part, okay?
Perfect.
Okay, great. So the Victoria Cross, it was previously awarded to Commonwealth countries, most of which have established their own honour systems now and no longer sort of acknowledge the British honour. But like Australia, for example, still has the Victorian Cross, but it's for Australia. It may be awarded to a person of any military rank in any service and to civilians under military command, although no civilian has received the award since 1879. So it is now mostly just people serving in the military. The VC was introduced on the 29th of January in 1856 by Queen Victoria to honour acts of valour during the Crimean War. Since then, the medal has been awarded to 1,358 times to 1,355 individual recipients. So a few people have received it twice.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Because it's
How is that? Oh, because it's for one act. So
one act. You can't get it twice.
So can you get it like in the same battle, or is it more likely to have happened across
different times?
It's not like when you get two speeding fines going down the same highway.
It's not like that at all.
Matt, you've got to take victories wherever that you see them. I won two speeding fines. They said it couldn't be done, but I did it. I did 200 kilometres an hour in a school zone.
I killed four kids.
Well, so they fined me twice.
That's beautiful.
And for every second child, they gave me a fine.
And funnily enough, since the Second World War, only 15 medals have been awarded, 11 to members of the British Army and 4 to the Australian Army. So since the Second World War, only 15. So that's not that many in quite a long period of time.
Yeah, I guess there hasn't been... No, there's been some pretty big wars in that time.
There's been some pretty big wars. Mm. You know, we're just a bunch of pussies now.
Or maybe they're just... Maybe they've...
They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, that's all they're saying.
Boys,
bloody millennials.
The they're blooded new bravery. I tell you that for free. These people are incredible.
No, they definitely did.
Yeah, they're good. Beginning... Oh, have you found it, Dave?
The story is that the original medal for the original crosses comes from a Russian cannon captured at the Siege of Sevastopol, which is part of the Crimean War, which is also where the charge of the Light Brigade.
Gotcha.
So, vaguely on the right track there.
I did actually read that the stuff that they make it from now, which may be the same thing, is like kept in a vault, and it's like really, really well protected, and it's, yeah. Just
do you reckon anyone will ever receive a Victoria Cross for protecting the metal?
Oh,
that gets made into Victoria Crosses.
Amazing.
That would be cool.
Imagine that. Mm. You'd make a daytime movie out of that one, wouldn't you?
Bloody would. I'd watch that. Get the popcorn ready. What are you doing, a daytime movie?
I don't know.
Nah, you're doing the vacuuming usually. You're vacuuming, you're like, just a little bit of something in the background.
Yeah.
Daytime movie.
Yeah,
just Elvis trying to act.
What's Elvis?
He's in Hawaii. Or he's in riding a motorcycle around inside a dome.
In a Hawaiian island.
I've been seeing that at work lately. Anyway. So, beginning with the centennial of Confederation in 1967, Canada, followed in 1975 by Australia and New Zealand, developed their own national honours system, separate and independent of the British or imperial honours system. So, as each country's system evolved, operational gallantry awards were developed. So, the VC for Australia, we have our own sort of VC now.
So it's now called the Victoria Cross of Australia or something like that.
VC for Australia and the Canadian VC and the VC for New Zealand. So VC for Australia, VC for New Zealand, Canada VC. Come on, Canada.
Canada VC. Yeah, there's some of them, they like changing things around. Like, I always thought it was weird when, like, on the Mighty Ducks, it was Team USA. I'm like, surely it's the USA team. Team USA.
No, that sounds better.
Well, you grew up in a different generation, a different era, you know? You grew up post Mighty Ducks.
I grew up
on the tough streets pre Mighty Ducks.
You grew up in the gold rush.
Well, that's pre Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, it is.
I was there with Emilio Estevez, but while he was still like on his way up in the hockey world before I can't remember, hit trouble, ended up having to drive a limousine for some reason and look after these troublesome kids on the ice.
There's no shame in driving a limo.
They were a ragtag band. There was no way they were going to ever play hockey at a high level, let alone be Team USA, the USA team. No, you're right. The USA team sounds ridiculous. I don't know.
It's like saying Australia
Child
team.
Child me was an idiot.
Australia team. Team yeah. Australia.
The Australian team. I don't...
Sportswoman of the year. Can I go on?
Yes.
Thank you. Before the Crimean War, there was no official standardised system for recognition of gallantry within the British Armed Forces. There's a growing feeling among the public and the Royal Court that a new award was needed to recognise incidents of gallantry. I just like saying gallantry a lot too. Queen Victoria had instructed the War Office to strike a new medal that would not recognise... new medal that would not recognise birth or class. So previously you had to be like a certain rank to... get any kind of awards, but now she's like, no, if you just, you know, do something pretty badass, you should get an award. It was meant to be a simple decoration that would be highly prized and eagerly sought after by those in the military services. To maintain its simplicity, Queen Victoria, under the guidance of Prince Albert, vetoed the suggestion that the award be called the Military Order of Victoria and instead suggested the name Victoria Cross. The original warrant...
Which is how she felt at all the people trying to tell her what to call her reward.
Victoria Cross.
Oh my God, she's angry.
We could call her Victoria Cross. Victoria Happier.
Victoria Hungry. You're not you when you're hungry.
Victoria need nappy change. Albert?
The original warrant stated that the Victoria Cross would only be awarded to soldiers who have served in the presence of the enemy and had performed some signal act of valour or devotion. The first ceremony was held on the 26th of June in 1857, at which Queen Victoria invested 62 of the 111 Crimean recipients in a ceremony in Hyde Park in London. Now there's a...
What the other 50 didn't get a bit of time with the Queen.
They didn't get any time with the Queen. Maybe some of them, as you had suggested.
Oh, actually.
Word. Dude. But
oh, dear.
Others maybe had something on that day.
Right. Like their own funeral.
You'd probably go. To be honest, you'd probably go. Come meet the Queen. I've got soccer.
I've got to play Emilio Estevez in a game of hockey.
Yeah. You know what he's
would
like.
Would you? I know. You guys probably would go meet the Queen.
You wouldn't meet the Queen if you're given the opportunity?
I don't. Well, like, depending on what was on that day.
You got nothing on that day. Absolutely nothing.
If I've got nothing on that day, am I feeling all right?
Yeah, you're feeling pretty good.
Feeling tip-top?
Tip-top.
Why don't I have any plans?
Because all of your friends are meeting the fucking Queen.
All my friends are there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably go along.
You sheep.
You wouldn't meet the Queen?
My friends are there.
All right. I'm there.
Yeah?
I'm so there. Bloody bow to her. I'd shake her hand.
I'd curtsy the fuck out of her.
I'd get a selfie with a selfie stick. I never even owned one of those. I'd buy one for the Queen.
I'd give her a love cat gun.
I hate that so much. This is kind of interesting.
You said love wrong.
There's a single company of jewellers, Hancock's of London, and they have been responsible for the production of every Victoria Cross awarded since its inception.
That's cool.
That's cool, right? That's cool.
So
they're shit at everything else, but they're Victoria Crosses.
Well, I mean, they're the only ones who've ever done it, so I guess.
But they've gone through some dry patches over the last, 60 years. They've made 17.
Yeah. They're like, come on, show some bloody gallantry.
Come on. Come on, you pigs.
Be gallant. Gallant. As the highest award for valour of the United Kingdom, the Victoria Cross is always the first award to be presented at a ceremony, even before knighthoods.
Yeah, I think... And do knights have to bow to someone with the Victoria Cross?
Yeah. Oh, I think so, yeah.
It, like, outranks nearly everything.
It outranks everything. Owing to its status, the VC is always the first decoration worn in a row of medals, and it's the first set of post-nominal letters used to indicate any decoration. So let's say you're like a... You know, like a Matt Stewart VC, OAM... Ma. It's all, VC's always first.
You
also
you threw in an Order of Australia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you didn't put my BA in there, though.
No, I did not put your BA in there because I figure your Victoria Cross and your Order of Australia probably go before your Bachelor of Arts.
Interesting take.
I'm saying VA goes first.
Yeah, you're saying that.
Oh, my God.
You're playing by the Queen's rules yet again.
I'm just pointing out something that's kind of interesting.
That's no, that it's... was interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's fine.
I thought I was just having a little muck about.
Yeah, but...
I mean...
Matt, do you not get it? You don't muck about with the VC.
I'm starting to get it. I'm sorry, I get it now.
Have a little respect.
No, it's made out of a cannon. Yeah, obviously you got to respect it.
Bow to my cross. Bow to it. I've got one. I'm one of the 17. One of the four Aussies.
What?
Mm-hmm. It's probably really offensive. I'm sorry.
I think it is, yeah.
Similar acts of extreme valour that do not take place in the face of the enemy are honoured with the George Cross. So if you're really brave but there's no Nazis around, you can still get a George Cross.
George Cross.
Which is still pretty cool.
So that's why there's only been 17 awarded, because there's less and less Nazis around.
Yeah, there's less of them.
Was George, George is Victoria's son or something? Is that a future king,
you know,
right?
I'm not great with the...
With the monarchs.
There's so many of them. There's so many Georges and Richards.
Was George Elizabeth's dad? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, that was maybe Albert.
Albert, but then he did change his name.
King name was George, wasn't it?
Yes, his regnal name.
Regnal, love it. All right. Sorry, Jess. I've really thrown the brakes on this sweet progress you were making. Please do go on.
George Cross is really good. Still very good. Has equal,
George Cross.
Equal precedence, but it's awarded second because the GC is newer. But it's still like quite an honour. There's widespread thought, there's this belief that it's kind of the done thing, like you were kind of mentioning, Dave, that all ranks would salute a bearer of the Victoria Cross. There's no official requirement that appears in the official warrant for the VC or in any of the Queen's regulations and orders, but tradition does dictate that this occurs, and as such, the Chief of Staff will salute a private awarded a VC or GC. So anybody will salute a Victoria Cross.
That's awesome.
How fucking cool is that? That's very cool. The original royal warrant involved an expulsion clause that allowed for the recipient's name to be erased from the official register in certain wholly discreditable circumstances, and his pension would be cancelled. Eight were forfeited between 1861 and 1908, so they may have committed crimes or something like that. But King George V felt very strongly that the decoration should never be forfeited, and in a letter from his private secretary, Lord Stamfordham, on the 26th,
that's so good.
Good name, in July of 1920, his views are expressed thusly. Doesn't say that on my paper, but I wanted to say thusly. The King feels so strongly that no matter the crime committed by anyone on whom the VC has been conferred, the decoration should not be forfeited. Even were a VC to be sentenced to be hanged for murder, he should be allowed to wear his VC on the scaffold.
Wow.
He's saying, doesn't matter what he's done post-VC, if he's been given that award and that honour, that's enough.
And that's the Queen's grandfather there talking.
Right.
Now, three people have been awarded the VC and Bar. The Bar representing the second award of the Victoria Cross. Now, they are Noel Chavasi and Arthur Martin Leek, who were both doctors in the Royal Army Medical Corps for rescuing wounded under fire, and New Zealander Charles Upham, who was an infantryman for combat actions.
Upham
remains the only combatant soldier to have received a VC and a Bar.
So is a Bar just like with honours type thing?
It's second VC. So instead of getting a second little medal, it's like, here's your VC. And
is it all for one event, though?
No, separate.
Oh, wow. So you're brave twice.
Brave twice.
Yeah, this isn't two speeding tickets on the highway. No. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, sorry, I was.
And it's Charles Upham that was suggested by Stuart Alcock, and that is who I am going to be speaking about in more detail today.
I'm kind of glad, because that was... I thought it was just going to be an hour of you going, all right, here's some fun facts about...
No, but I just wanted to give some context as to what the award is.
Yeah, that's cool.
I feel like a lot of people, particularly younger people, because it hasn't happened as much in our sort of... Mm. In the last 20 years, say.
Yeah, I always knew it was something that you have to greatly respect, but wasn't...
Yeah, yeah. I had a feeling, I had it in my head as well that maybe you had to die to get it. But it basically, you had
well,
to
you
put yourself
to
in the...
But a
you
lot
have
of
to
the...
take the chance that you probably will die. And...
Yeah, I just know that a lot of people are awarded it posthumously, especially in the First and Second World War when people were dying a lot.
Yep. And what's interesting, I find, it's funny, love him or hate him, but Jeremy Clarkson has done a really, really good documentary about the VC.
Hate him.
And his father-in-law, I think, actually
love
has
him.
Won a VC as well. Hmm. But...
You're the yin and the yang.
The common thread seems to be that they're not the type of guys who go, yeah, I did this, whatever. Like they won't talk about it. Often you can't find a lot of detail about what they've done, but it's always something. They've always put themselves in, like, they basically run into fire, basically.
Yeah.
They're crazy. And Charles Upham is a fucking mad dog. So, he was born in Central Christchurch on the 21st of September in 1908.
Oh, he's a Kiwi.
He's a Kiwi.
Oh, sick.
And the son of...
So, he didn't get the love gun.
He didn't get the love gun.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I was sure that was a fact.
He was the son of John Upham, a lawyer, and his wife, Agatha Mary Coates. No one knows what Agatha did, but, you know, it was 1908. She probably didn't do anything other than have children and sit quietly.
As Matt and I leave that comment and sit quietly.
He attended Canterbury Agricultural College, which is now known as Lincoln University, and he earned a diploma in agriculture in 1930. He worked first as a sheep farmer, later as a manager, and then valuing farms for the New Zealand government.
He worked with sheep in New Zealand.
I know.
Unheard of.
Unbloody believable, mate. You wouldn't read about it.
You guys know that apparently outside of Australia, like around here, the joke is New Zealand and sheep. New Zealand and sheep, isn't it? Am I right? Them New Zealand and sheep people, am I right? But apparently, like in England and America, they're like Australians and sheep. I was when I was travelling and people were going, oh, you love the sheep, eh, down there? I'm like, no, that's New Zealand. You got us all wrong.
New Zealand fuck sheep.
No, yeah, not us, no. Nah. We're not the ones that the dumb joke is about.
Yeah. Now, so you got a taste of the medicine.
No, we make that joke.
Do you still make that joke now?
No, I never made that joke.
Now that you see how much it hurts?
No, I've never made that joke. I love New Zealand.
No, don't bully me. Bully them.
Bully them.
I was like, you guys have got it all wrong.
Aww. So, in September of 1939, he enlisted at the age of 30, and he was soon promoted to temporary lance corporal, but initially declined a place in an officer cadet training unit. In December, he was promoted to sergeant, and a week later sailed for Egypt. In May of 1941, Upham was commanding a platoon in the battle for Malim Airfield. During the course of an advance of 3,000 yards, his platoon was held up three times.
Has he just rocketed through the ranks? No. Yes. No.
Kind of, yeah, pretty quickly. So, September of 1939, he enlisted, and then he, I think December of maybe the next year, he was a sergeant.
And then he's running a whole bloody platoon.
Yeah. And he's carrying, so while he's carrying a bag of grenades, which was his favourite weapon.
A bag of grenades.
Bag of grenades.
Everyone choose a weapon. Shotgun bag of grenades.
Like,
what kind of bag are you picturing? I'm picturing like a nice velvety satchel.
Oh, I was thinking like a Hessian sack, but you're right.
Yeah. I definitely had a
velvety satchel is much better. Oh. But I'm also imagining, when you said velvet, I'm imagining purple, which doesn't really go with his outfit, but right. That's what you're thinking too.
Yeah, purple, yeah. Regal.
No, I'm imagining him in the grenades are inside a giant bag, like that's shaped like a grenade.
Wow, yeah.
That's over the shoulder. A backpack.
So people know what to expect before they die.
Yes, that's good.
No, but then he like...
I just like saying satchel. It's a fun word to say.
It is a fun word. But his bag looks like a grenade, so people are like, well, they can't put grenades in there. That'd be too obvious.
Yeah.
He's probably got machine guns in there. And then he pulls out grenades. They're like, oh, he's quite literal. And I respect that. So they respect him before they die.
Yeah, that's nice.
That is nice. That's why you get a VC. So he's carrying a bag of grenades, and he first attacked a German machine gun nest, killing 8 paratroopers, then destroyed another which had been set up in a house. Finally, he crawled to within 15 yards of an anti-aircraft gun before knocking it out. When the advance had been completed...
He took it on. They did 10 rounds.
I'm picturing him just jumping on guns like big and just punching them.
Yeah, TKO.
Punching tanks in the face.
Take that, and a bit of that, and a little bit of this. When the advance had been completed, he helped carry a wounded man to safety in full view of the enemy, and then ran half a mile under fire to save a company from being cut off. Like they were...
Is this all in one day?
All in one day.
This is crazy.
2 Germans who tried to stop him were killed. You can imagine how.
But with grenades?
With grenades.
By him?
By him. The next day, the next day now.
He's got a wounded body over one shoulder. With the other, he's dipping into the satchel. Just pulling the pins out with his teeth.
Yeah. A German guy's like, I'll just stop you right there. Oh!
The next day, Upham was wounded in the shoulder by a mortar burst and hit in the foot by a bullet. Shot, you could say. hit in the foot by the bullet. Undeterred, he continued fighting and, with his arm in a sling, hobbled about in the open to draw enemy fire and enable their gun position to be spotted. So he's like, that's using himself as bait so that they knew where the guns were so that they could then attack.
That's so
wow. Places.
While with his unwounded arm, he propped his rifle in the fork of a tree and killed two approaching Germans as well. So he's just like...
Well, so he used the tree to hold up the gun?
Yeah, because his other arm, he was hurt in the shoulder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he maybe our baddest ass yet?
It keeps going. During the retreat from Crete, Upham succumbed to dysentery and could not eat properly. The effect of this and his wounds made him look like a walking skeleton, which is what one of his commanding officers noted down in a diary. He looked like a walking skeleton. Nevertheless, he found the strength to climb the side of a 600-foot ravine and use a Bren gun on a group of advancing Germans. At a range of 500 yards, he killed 22 out of 50.
Did you say bread gun?
Bren.
Oh, Bren.
Love gun. A bread gun. It's just shooting baguettes at him.
Wow.
Also, but like, it's got different settings.
Kill him
on
with
it.
Carbs.
What's your favourite type of bread?
Oh, light rye.
Baguettes. You've nailed it in one.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, real good.
Get a bit of dip.
Yeah.
Some cheese.
A bit of maybe olive oil.
Who's manning the olive oil gun?
Bit of ducker.
And sorry, did you just duca? Say light rye?
I love a light rye.
I love a dark rye. Yin to my yang, my man.
I like a light rye too.
Let's rye together.
Rye or die.
That's what he would yell with the with the bread gun. Rye or die, motherfucker.
Rye and die.
I like a just a bit of a treat, just a white roll, but nice and like crusty on the outside, but real soft on the inside.
Yeah.
And just like fill it full of just yummy things.
Oh yeah, I'll go make you one right now. Oh, you've got it all wrong.
Just
gummy bears. Squeeze in like a Ferrero Rocher. I don't know what. I'm just having a stab here. I've put in.
These things are yummy. So he's subsequent. So the range of 500 yards. He killed 22 out of 50 approaching Germans. His subsequent VC citation recorded that he had performed a series of remarkable exploits showing outstanding leadership, tactical skill, and utter indifference to danger.
He is not different to danger.
Even under the hottest fire, Upham never wore a steel helmet, explaining that he could never find one that fitted him.
Too big or too small?
So he's not wearing a helmet this whole time, by the way.
Wow.
This guy's so fucking cool.
I want someone to make an Avengers of these badasses. You got Mad Jack Churchill, you got Upham, you got the three Ronnies.
The three Monties. Including Tex. Remember Tex Banwell?
Tex Banwell.
So good. In 1941, Upham was presented with his first Victoria Cross medal. When he was informed of the award, his response was, "It's meant for the men." Meaning it's...
He hates women. I knew that. I knew there was going to be a seedy undercurrent eventually. Seedy underbelly.
There it Upham. Is.
Oh, that's really disappointing. I was just really coming around to him.
Anyway, yeah. He meant that it was for them that he did the... Anyway, all right. A quote from the citation when the award was presented. It goes, "He showed superb coolness, Matt."
Real, they wrote superb coolness.
Coolness.
Imagine being presented with an award for superb coolness.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Fuck. I can't imagine.
I just cannot.
That's within my grasp.
Superb coolness, great skill and dash, and complete disregard of danger. His conduct and leadership inspired his whole platoon to fight magnificently throughout, and in fact was an inspiration
to the hit song. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. No.
Wow, he would have loved that. That is supreme cool.
That is supreme cool. Supreme. Is it supreme cool? Superb cool.
No, nah,
supreme
thinking
of,
cool.
You're thinking of a kind of Doritos.
Supreme cool.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card.
Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching.
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I use to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. His second VC was earned on July 15 of 1942 when the New Zealanders were concluding a desperate defence of the Ruisat Ridge in the First Battle of Alamein. Upham ran forward through a position swept by machine gun fire and lobbed grenades into a truck full of German soldiers.
What?
When it became urgently necessary to take information to advance units, which had become separated, Upham took a jeep on which a captured German machine gun was mounted and drove it through the enemy position. At one point, the vehicle became bogged down in sand, so Upham coolly ordered some nearby Italian soldiers to push it free.
Hey, how are you?
Though they were somewhat surprised to be given an order by one of the enemy. Upham's expression left them in no doubt that he should be obeyed.
You're fucking kidding.
That's great.
The enemy pushed him out when he was bogged.
Whoa. They probably didn't even speak the same fucking language.
No.
His gesturing was so good that they were like, we better do what he says.
You, push.
You, push. Me, drive. Me, kill you.
You, later. But now, push. By now, Upham had been wounded, but not badly enough to prevent him leading an attack on the enemy's strong point. He was shot in the elbow, and his arm was broken. Fuck. The New Zealanders were surrounded and outnumbered, but Upham carried on directing fire until he was wounded in the leg and could no longer walk. Legs, I should say, sorry. He was captured and taken as a POW, and he was sent to an Italian hospital where an Italian doctor recommended his wounded arm be amputated. They didn't really have, they had fairly scarce supplies, and they were worried that, they weren't really able to prevent or treat gangrene, so it was better to just
lop it off.
Just lop it off. He refused, Upham refused.
That's my grenade arm. Hmm.
In no small part because the operation would have to be carried out without anaesthetic, and he had witnessed other patients dying in agony under surgery, so he's like, not doing that, thanks. Yeah. No anaesthetic for surgery, interesting. He remained in the hospital to recuperate, but attempted to escape numerous times before being branded dangerous by the Germans.
Wait, so he's in a prison of war camp.
Yep.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, they still go to their hospitals and go, yeah, we'll just lop your arm off. Like, I'm not trusting the Nazi doctors either.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, that is weird. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
You get captured and you're like, all right, you're off to the Nazi hospital. Ugh.
I'm not going to get the best treatment.
Am I trusting that they're going to be giving me the best?
One attempt to escape occurred when a group of POWs were being transported in open trucks through Italy. Upham jumped from the truck at a bend and managed to get about 370 metres away before he was recaptured. He'd broken an ankle in jumping from the moving truck and ran 370 metres on it.
And when they recaptured him, he said, no, you drive me home. And they did.
Another attempt occurred when he was being moved between prison camps on a civilian train while guarded by two Germans. Upham was only allowed to visit the toilet when the train was travelling at high speed to prevent him from jumping through a window. Nevertheless, Upham pried open the toilet window and jumped down onto the tracks, knocking himself unconscious.
Oh, no. When it was going quick.
Yeah, it's going really fast. On a third occasion, he tried to escape a camp by climbing its fences in broad daylight. He became entangled in barbed wire when he fell down between the two fences. When a prison guard pointed a pistol at his head and threatened to shoot, Upham calmly ignored him and lit a cigarette.
What?
This scene was photographed by the Germans as evidence and later reprinted in his biography, which is called Mark of the Lion.
I was going to say, that's one of those things you just say, but then he's got a fucking photo of it.
After this incident, Upham was considered extremely dangerous and was placed in solitary confinement.
He was also considered extremely cool.
So cool. Superb cool.
Oh, superb. Supreme cool.
So he's in solitary confinement now. So he's only allowed to exercise alone while accompanied by two armed guards. So not really alone, is he?
So he's got two spotters.
He's got two spotters.
Guys, I'm just going to go for the high bars here. So if I fall, if one of you could catch me, that'd be great. Thanks.
You got it, Upham.
All right. And if the other one could just shout encouragement, that'd be really good.
That'd be really helpful because I bloody need it.
I don't have any upper body strength.
Or
bones that are attached. Because he looked like a skeleton before.
He looked like a guy.
His skeleton sounds fucked. He wouldn't have a bone that's complete in his body.
All broken. He's
it was just funny how you're like, yeah, they were broken.
We get it, bones.
Yeah.
I mentioned it several times that he broke some bones. Yeah,
and I went back and said it a couple of times. Yeah, skeleton.
So he's in solitary confinement. He's got two armed guards with him at all time. Despite these precautions, Upham bolted from his little courtyard, straight through the German barracks and out through the front gate of the camp. The guard in the machine gun tower later told other prisoners that he refrained from shooting Upham out of sheer respect.
Wow.
And that as he could see the German soldiers coming up the road, and he thought, well, they'll get him. So he let him get out, and he's like, well, there's German soldiers right there. They'll catch him.
That's She'll be right.
Weird.
It's very weird. So he was soon recaptured, obviously, by those German soldiers, and he was sent to the infamous Colditz Castle.
Oh, that's the castle, yeah.
Mm. On the 14th of October, 1944.
Whereabouts are we, Dave? Or Jess, probably? But you'd heard of that castle. I don't even know what country we're in.
Like a famous German prisoner of war camp. It's like up on a mountain type thing.
In Germany or somewhere in Europe?
Well, I think it's in Germany, yeah.
I think so. When Colditz Castle was captured by American forces, most of the inmates made their own way home immediately. Upham joined an American unit, was armed and equipped, and wanted to fight the Germans.
So he's obviously had some healing. His arms come good?
Yeah, I think he's been in there for a while.
Wow.
And his skeleton, which is made up of bones.
Yeah.
It somehow healed itself.
That's wild. This guy's great. I reckon VC actually stands for very cool.
That's offensive to VC winners.
Only in this case.
Okay. Upham was keen to see action again, but was instead sent to Britain, where he was reunited with Molly McTamney.
What's the opposite of action?
Action!
Britain in the 1940s, am I right? What a drab, dreary town. Not like now. London is a real centre point in the world of culture and good times.
My parents are in London right now.
What?
I miss them so much. I'm really worried about them.
They're having a ball.
No, it's a big flight over and I was a bit worried about them. They haven't done a big flight like that before. I was genuinely quite worried.
Oh, they've never been to Europe?
Never been to Europe.
Oh, they're going to have the best time of their lives.
So jealous.
They're having a great time, but I worry about them.
Let's go to Europe.
All right.
Yes. Let's go to Colditz Castle.
Okay, yeah. Yes. That'd be great.
I'll genuinely be keen.
Anyway.
Oh, we could do a live pod from a castle.
No, I don't want to do it from there.
No, that would not be. If it's a real bad.
There's a really cool story where a bunch of prisoners broke out of there with this elaborate escape plan, which would be a sick episode.
Put it in the hat.
Can we put stuff in the hat?
Nah.
Oh, somebody put it in the hat.
Come on.
Please. Anyway, so he goes to Britain. He's reunited with Molly, who was serving as a nurse, and they were married in New Milton in Hampshire on the 20th of June, 1945. And he returned to New Zealand in early September, and she followed him in December.
Aw.
So now he's finished with his war
stuff. Just in time for Christmas.
Perfect. For his actions, that I described earlier. He was awarded a bar to his VC. His citation noted that his complete indifference to danger and his personal bravery have become a byword in the whole of the New Zealand Expeditionary Force.
Awarded a bar. That is a real high honour. Does he have to run it? Or is it like, you know, does the management come in and he just gets to, like, drink there and hang out or whatever? Or it's more one of those, it's like a setup. It's just, he, because, I mean, it's a burden in a lot of ways. If it's like a rundown establishment, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's a fixer-upper.
If it's a fixer-upper, I mean, is that really an honour? You know what I mean?
Remember a few weeks ago where you kept smelling my drink bottle to see if I'd been drinking?
Yeah.
Matt, have you been drinking?
Funnily enough, yes, but see, not that much.
The difference is that it was a surprise with you, Jess.
I had two beers.
Matt's a given.
I had one beer, actually.
Which is it? One or two?
That means three.
He's got a problem. Anyway, here's a little fun fact. So he's getting his second VC, right? So King George... What's VI? 6.
Yes.
Yes!
King it's George... actually V. And it's short for...
That's never worked before, ever. I just shook my head at him and he shut up.
Jess is doing a lot of blocking today.
What were you going to say?
I felt like I haven't had a lot of support here. I've tried to chase down a few...
Maddie?
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, what is it?
I'm
what's
trying to have
for?
Some
what's
fun.
For?
No, look.
V.
To be honest,
King George V. What is
no,
it?
No, it's fine.
I just realized we've got it the wrong way around. It's King George the Sixth. He chose the name George. Albert was his name.
That's what I said before.
No, we said the other way around. I think.
No, yeah, I said his name was Albert, and then his regnal name was George.
Great.
We said that right. Thanks for interrupting, Matt. Right as he was about to make progress, Matt.
King no, it's George fine. V. What no, is no, it? I get, hey. I get it. You don't want to see me have fun. On the show, you want to be the only one who has a good time. No, you and Dave have a fun riff, and I'll sit here and watch.
Well, it's been like that for 98 other episodes. Why change now?
98, you wish, mate.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
So King George V, insert joke here, had invested up and with his first Victoria Cross at Buckingham Palace back in 1945. When the recommendation was made for the second VC, the King remarked to Major General Howard Kippenberger that a bar to the cross would be very unusual indeed, and firmly said, "Does he deserve it?" And Kippenberger replied, "In my respectful opinion, sir, Upham won the VC several times over."
He's won heaps!
I think that's pretty cool.
He's got a whole satchel full.
Just, he's full of satchels.
He's got one satchel with grenades, one Victoria Crosses. You do not want to mix them up. So you are wearing a hand grenade. And I bow to thee.
See that support that Jess just gave Dave on that little riff? Must be nice, Dave. Must be real nice.
It really is. It really is. I've got a satchel full of support over here. Thank you, Jess.
Friendship. Now, back in New Zealand, Upham resisted invitations to take up politics. In appreciation for his heroism, a sum of £10,000 was raised to buy him a farm. He appreciated the tribute but declined the money, which was used to endow the Charles Upham Scholarship Fund to send sons of ex-servicemen to university.
Oh, he's a good guy too.
He's such a good dude.
But why would he need a farm? He's already got this bar he's got to fix up. No.
Yeah.
How many burdens do you need? Oh, you're going to give me a fixer up a farm as well?
It probably would be, let's be honest.
Yeah.
£10,000.
Come on. What are you buying? Bet it was just like a lavender farm or something. And at the time, lavender had a very low value.
What about now?
Oh, now it's through the roof. Would have been a great, you know, if you're thinking ahead, which you obviously wasn't, it would have been a great investment. But, you know, very cool on the sporting field of war. But once he got home to the sporting field of
life,
civilianarity, he, you know, dropped the ball, you know, sporting-wise, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Do you see why we don't let you riff?
Well, so it's a different, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the support was there, you know, riffs live or die. Because of the bouncingness, and
well, it's hard to when bounce you, when you don't shut the fuck up.
When you you just silently shake your head at me, what I call the opposite of support, not a very up'em kind of value. Yeah, leave me out there hanging.
Can you please say do go on?
Do go on.
Thank you. Fiercely determined to avoid all publicity, Upham at first refused to return to Britain for a victory parade in 1946 and only gave in at the request of the New Zealand Prime Minister. He has to be like, the Prime Minister's like, Charlie.
Come on, mate.
All right.
PM, I'll do it for you.
It'll be fun. Oh, that's, they say fun the same as us. I was trying to make fun of their accent, but they just sound the same with that one.
Fun.
It'll be fun. That's about right. Also in 1946, Upham bought a farm of his own. Didn't need your donations.
Oh, I didn't need a hand-me-down farm.
Bought a farm at Ruffer Downs, some 100 miles north of Christchurch. And he worked, so there's sort of a similar area to where he had worked before the war. And there he finally found the anonymity that he desired. Although somewhat hampered by his injuries, he became a successful farmer and served on the Board of Governors of Christ's College for nearly 20 years. He and Molly had three daughters and lived on their farm until January of 94, when Upham's poor health forced him to retire to Christchurch. He died in Canterbury on the 22nd of November in 94, surrounded by his wife and daughters.
The year he retired, he died.
Yeah.
That is, how old was he?
Good question. Well, he was born in... I don't even know. He was born in 1908 and died in 1994.
And he retired at 86.
Yep.
That isn't, Matt, this is what an incredible guy after all this. And also, he's broken every bone in his body. It's been shot a million times.
Yep.
It really hurt.
Do you reckon? Dave's hot take on getting shot.
No, but I mean, like, forever. Your body would never be good.
Yeah. Matt,
and you're
a
farmer till you're 86 and then you die.
Do you reckon getting shot would hurt, Matt?
I reckon, yeah, I reckon it would. I mean, I haven't had it happen to me. But,
can we try?
Yeah, kill me.
No, I didn't say kill you.
No, if you're dead, you won't be able to tell us how much it hurt.
I'm just shoot you in the shoulder.
I'll let you know as I go out.
Okay, how would you do that?
I'm just like, that hurts. Give us another one. And then all this pain would be over.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
The pain of the wound in my shoulder.
Okay, cool. His funeral was in the Christchurch Cathedral and was conducted with full military honours. The streets of Christchurch were lined by over 5,000 people. Upham is buried in the graveyard of St. Paul's Church, and his death was also marked by a memorial service in 1995 in London, attended by representatives of the royal family, senior New Zealand government and political figures, senior members of the British and New Zealand armed forces, the commander of the Allied forces in Crete, and the 7th Governor General of New Zealand, as well as representatives of veterans organisations and other VC and George Cross holders. So
people were like, all right, we got to pull out all the stops for this guy.
Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. So that is basically my story about Charles Upham, two-time VC winner.
That is, what an incredible life.
Pretty cool, huh? But also, like, I found on YouTube, remember this show, This Is Your Life?
Yeah.
God, that was a good show.
Mike Monroe.
But it wasn't Mike Monroe because it was a New Zealand version.
Guy Smiley.
New Zealand version. Probably not Guy Smiley.
Mick.
I'm trying to think of Russell Crowe.
But I saw they did one for Charles Upham and he was like...
Oh, he was on it?
Yeah, he
was. Agreed to be
on
it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't really give you a choice, do they? Because I don't think he would agree to do
they
it.
They ambushed him on the farm.
They do.
Hey, Upham. Oh, fuck.
Not on the
it's
farm.
Mike Monroe.
But they ambushed him and they took him in and he just like...
And he pulled out a bag of hand grenades and started throwing.
It's actually terrible television.
Oh, is it?
Because
he's
modest and he's not into it. He doesn't want to talk about himself.
That's
and
interesting. Because so he would have had to have signed off on it to let them
put
it there. But he would have been like, oh, you've made such a fuss. I don't want to ruin everyone's time.
But he's just kind of like looking down a lot and like he's listening, but he's not really engaged all that much. It's like it's hard to watch, but it's just because of the nature of that person.
So when did he die?
94.
94. So this is... In the early 90s?
I reckon even late 80s, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was a long time ago. But yeah, very cool. But you often get that as well with all of them. They tend to just be quite humble. And I remember one of them quite recently. I wish I remembered which one it was. It was an Australian guy, but like didn't tell his wife or something that he was being awarded the VC.
Didn't tell?
Just, I didn't want to make a fuss.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Do you want to hear just something real quick, like a little fun fact as well?
I Would love to. Matt doesn't get to say.
Did you know?
Just go on my me.
That there's a Victoria Cross equivalent for animals?
I did not know.
It's called the Dickin Medal. And it's to honour the work of animals in World War II. That's when it started. It's a bronze medallion. It says the words "for gallantry" on it, and "we also serve." And it's mostly, I've got a list here of recipients of the Dickin Medal. Most of them, what animal do you think they are?
Dogs,
donkeys,
horses.
Dogs are quite. The dogs are up there, especially sort of later or more recently.
Camels.
Few horses.
Giant tortoises.
Mostly in the early days.
Parrots.
Pigeons.
Pigeons.
So
carrier.
The first one.
Carrier
pigeon. It was a pigeon called White Vision in December of 1943. Delivered a message that led to the rescue of a ditched air crew in October 1943. She flew 9 hours in bad visibility.
That is incredible.
So that is that amazing. That pigeon got a medal. That's so great.
Jeez. That's so good.
Yeah, anyway, I just thought that was a real fun
Do you think all the other pigeons have to bow to it now?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Assuming it's still going.
They know the rules.
That's a 9-hour flight. That is pretty great.
It's pretty great.
I mean, it is. It's...
Does the bird know it's getting an award, though?
Does the bird know it's done anything good?
Yeah,
the
job, bird's light like, vision.
The bird's like, I'd prefer just a bit of light rye, to be honest. That'd be much nicer.
Pull out the bread gun.
Get the bread gun.
Get the bread gun. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Fire up the bread gun.
Anyway, that's my report. Thank you. Matt, I just want to extend a very
I'll give
sincere...
You a,
I'm... Are you serious?
I was going to give you a medal for valor.
I was about to offer a very sincere apology for shutting you down, and as I went to do that, you interrupted me.
I feel, is that karma? Is that the karma bus?
Will these two ever get along?
I was going to say, I give your reporter a bronze Dickens award for being a real dog.
You're the best dog here.
No, the report, you dildo. Not the fucking Jess.
Did I just get a dildo medal?
Giving you a brass dildo, Dave.
Oh, great.
Best sidekick.
We'll make everyone bow down to it.
Yeah. To the dildo?
Yeah.
Are you carrying
and
it around?
You can
with
only
you?
Go up. Forever up. Forever up. Well, thank you so much to our golden hat suggestion there.
Yep. Stuart Alcock. Thank you very much.
Stuart Alcock. So good. Is Stuart a New Zealander, do we think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
To have such a cool New Zealand hero. Man, thank you so much, Stuart. A cracking topic that. If it hadn't gone to the Golden Hat, perhaps never would have made it onto the show. So
I'd never heard of Stick It Right Up 'Em.
Me either, but I like him. What a champ.
Yeah. He probably is the baddest of the badass.
He does sound like the baddest ass, no doubt. Mm. He's got the worst ass of the lot.
Oh, so bad. Ugh.
His ass is awful.
It's all over the shop.
Ugh.
Oh, it just goes up.
But, you know, up 'em.
Up 'em. Right up them.
Took me a second to get it.
If you would like to support the show via Patreon, like our good friend Stuart Alcock has done via the Golden Hat, you can hit up patreon.com/dogoonpod. I'm going to release our bonus monthly episode very, very soon if you want to get on that bandwagon. We'd also like to thank, along with Stuart, a couple of other people that support the show through Patreon.
Yes. May I kick it off?
Oh, Jess, please do.
Well, I'd like to thank a couple of people. The first one is actually someone that we know because we've met this person at, firstly, a Planet Broadcasting
Are
launch.
You about to thank Matt?
We have met Matt.
Unfortunately.
You're thanking Phil Kidd again? He seems to be getting thanked every time.
I love Phil Kidd.
Just loves Phil Kidd.
I love Phil Kidd. He's 7 to the 100th.
He's got a million-dollar smile, Phil Kidd.
Phil Kidd. Sorry for saying your name so many times, Phil Kitt, but also not because it's a cool name. But the other person that we would like to thank who we met at the same time we met Phil Kitt and who also came to a couple of our live shows at the Comedy Festival, a very, very lovely friend of ours from here in Melbourne,
wow.
Soph Waldron.
Oh, Soph, what a legend.
Thank you, Soph. I wonder if Soph has bought a ticket to our 100th episode. She'll feel guilty now if she hasn't. But thank you, Soph. We appreciate it.
I think
support.
We should award each of these listeners. What award would you give Soph, Jess?
Oh, okay. A military award.
That might be. I don't know if that That might be a little offensive.
How about a daytime Emmy?
Daytime Emmy, great.
Yes!
I don't know if she quite deserves a military award. I don't know, maybe she does.
No, I was wondering like what your criteria was, what type of award.
I reckon,
daytime Emmy, good one. Yeah, that is good. Absolutely.
Daytime Emmy is... That is a very funny sounding award.
It does sound funny. It's real.
The other person that I would like to thank as well, while we're here, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
This time, not as local as Soph in Melbourne. This all the way from Virginia.
Which is where the Mothman prophecies occurred.
That was West Virginia.
Mountain Mama. Damn it.
You idiot. I'd really like to thank...
The Mothman.
The Mothman himself.
Oh, no. The prophecies come true. Get off the bridge.
He's trying to warn us.
If anyone is listening to this going over the bridge.
Can you stop spoiling it? I haven't listened yet.
I'm trying to save a life.
Yeah. I don't care. You're ruining a story. No, I'd like to thank the Mothman himself, Brad Smith.
Brad Smith's the Mothman.
Brad Smith.
Brad Smith, you naughty Mothman, you.
Brad Smith, great name.
I think
that's a rock solid name. I love a rock solid name like Brad Smith.
Brad
Smith. He sounds like he could have been a cowboy.
Probably.
And what award do you give?
Oh, I'm not good at awards.
What about the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film? Brad from Virginia.
That's foreign to us.
Foreign to us.
Okay, that'll do.
Could I thank a couple?
Yeah, I'm going to try and think of some awards.
Great. I'd love to thank... Oh, and I know both of these people.
That's exciting.
Dan Barley, who I met at our Sydney live show.
Dan!
He's a bloody gentleman.
We all met Dan.
He's he had maybe the most schvelt guns that I'd ever seen. It was a gun show. And a tattoo show. It was a double feature, and tell you what, I could not take my eyes off those guns. I did. I mean, I probably glanced at them briefly. It would have been a weird conversation otherwise.
You're transfixed.
Real nice guy. I liked him a lot. What award would you give him, Jess?
I would give Dan. I just googled obscure awards, and I would give Dan the Stellar Award for the dumbest lawsuit.
Wow.
Dan Barley.
Dan knows what he did.
He works in advertising, I think.
Yeah, well, that's right.
So obviously that makes quite a bit of sense. And also I'd love to thank Pete Curry, my boss. He runs the Quizmasters Trivia. You laughing at?
Are you
laughing at the idea of trivia?
Pete Carrot's
the idea that I've got a boss.
No, not at all. I'm trying to find other awards, and these are all terrible awards that I cannot give to nice people like Pete.
Well, Pete Curry, who I am also a big, big fan of. Hello, Pete. There's always a 50-50 question in the Quizmasters quiz that Pete runs, which is real award or fake award.
there is too.
Yeah.
It's one of the. Is it the last?
Yeah, the last question. Is this a real award?
Well,
sometimes they throw in like little funny ones, like the Peter Curry Award for best home renovation.
Great.
That is a very funny one.
Well, maybe Pete...
all the hosts go. That's my boss.
Well, maybe Pete would have heard of the Ernie Awards for the most sexist comment.
Oh no!
That one goes to bloody Charlie Upham. This one's for the men.
Charlie,
I have not. No. I'm not taking any bullets for any of the women. I'll tell you that much.
What's the award for sexiest comment? Because that's much better.
The Bert Awards.
Oh yeah.
If the sexiest were Ernie. Do you get it? Bert and Ernie.
I do.
Do you get it?
I get it. I love it.
Matt, do you get my joke?
I do. I get it so much, and I want to dedicate that joke of Jess's just then to Pete Curry and Dan Barley, because I think you guys deserve that joke more than anyone.
To Pete and Dan.
Bert and Ernie.
Our Bert and Ernie.
I would like to thank a couple of people too now, if I may.
Pete's also got svelte guns, by the way.
Oh, I can't get my eyes off him.
Svelte guns.
I've never seen this man's guns, but I reckon he's got a gun collection.
Oh.
He's got guns.
He sounds like he's got money.
He's got guns in his legs.
Guns in his legs?
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Probably the recipient of the Usain Bolt Award for best leg guns.
Oh, you're slipping, mate.
Or a Grammy.
Yay!
For best urban album.
Yay! He saved it.
It's Tom Price from the urban capital of the UK, Shropshire.
Shropshire. How wonderful.
I love Foxy so much. I love you. I love you so much.
That's my new voice. Trying that out, Tom. What do you think?
The only way you can do it is doing this weird rat face.
His face is fucked. I love it so much, though.
Maybe I'll do a little video about
it. It looks like that dog. You know that dog that always wins ugliest dog in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You know that meme that was like Stephen with a V?
Yeah, that's who he looks like.
That's what he looks like.
He's Stephen with a V.
I don't know that meme, but I'm fucking offended.
I just want to do my little voice.
Me.
I just want to do my voice.
I'm going to find it now. No, Stephen with a PH. And it was like, Stephen.
Oh, at least say the H correctly, please.
H.
Thank you. Oh, that felt good to get it back a little bit. Tom Price, that was for you, that little outburst. And I'd also like to thank... We are ending in our favourite state of all. From Canton, Ohio...
We gotta do a split screen photo of that. That's the photo I was thinking of. Have you seen it yet, Dave? Why aren't you laughing along? Oh, I guess you haven't seen it yet, but that is what—that's what you look like.
I haven't looked in the mirror. I don't know what my face looks like when I do my little voice.
Stephen. Very, very good. That is the dog that you look like. You look like that dog from the internet when you do the face. It is very, very good.
Oh, that was great.
Sorry. I would like to thank all the way from Canton, Ohio.
Ohio!
Just outside of Akron, Ohio. Mister.
We say Akron wrong. Remember?
Oh, sorry. Akron.
Akron. No, that's not
it. That's so much worse.
Let's just say, let's stick with Canton, Ohio, Scott Wilkinson.
Oh, Scott Wilkinson. He's a big Ohio guy. If I'm thinking of the right guy, he's got an Ohio mascot.
Big tweeter?
Big tweeter.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. You're a gun. Wow, it's all guns today.
Sorry for interrupting your thank there with just losing it over that meme. But
no, it's okay. I just get to do my little voice.
Steven. That's great. We're taking a photo of that for sure.
I will not allow it. Will not allow it.
Oh, shit. That was the best.
Now, if you too would like to support the show that supports you, if you're Matt, Jess, or Dave, head over to patreon.com/dogoonpod. And you can get bonus episodes, shout-outs, and you get to vote for my topic. I just did the poll today. Will be our 100th episode.
Oh, that's exciting. Wait, so you're doing the report so Matt and I don't have to do anything?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah!
So good. Love it.
I love that.
Jess, you just have to sell the t-shirts.
Okay, done. I can do that. I worked in retail for a long time.
Come on down. If you have a ticket, please do come to the European Beer Cafe this Saturday at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a gay old time.
It's going to be bloody ripper.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Dogoon, kids.
Holy shit, that was so fun.
All right, guys. Well, for everyone coming to our live show, we'll see you there. And for everyone at home, the next time you hear us, it will be our 100th episode. Woo! I've put three sweet...
Spooky.
I put three sweet topics in the hat. Either way, what, you can't go wrong with this one. Cannot go wrong.
Awesome. Cannot wait.
You normally put in a dud or two.
Not this time.
two duds. Two duds and one good one. And I hope they pick right. They always pick right. They always pick good. All right, guys. We'll be back next week. But until then, I will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.